And we return. It is today's Topical Currents Wednesday edition. Joseph Cooper here. Bonnie Berman has the day off. I'm here with employment law attorney and prolific author, Fort Lauderdale-based Donna Ballman. We'll be taking calls for your information at 800-743-WLRN. That's 800-743-9576. Good to see you again, Donna.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's always fun to have your semi-annual visits here on Topical Currents. Donna, run down some of the books you've written with work-related themes and some pretty catchy titles that I don't want to say necessarily.
Well, the book that I wrote is that relates to employment law is Stand Up for Yourself Without Getting Fired, which has a subtitle that I probably can't mention.
Go ahead.
But I don't want to get banned from here. No. And I also have a weekly column that I write for AOL Jobs, and I do a weekly blog. It's also whose title I probably can't say. I'll say that it's Bleep You Guys, I'm Going Home, and the bleep is it begins with an S and rhymes with crew. So you can probably figure it out.
Employment laws vary widely from state to state. In terms of employee rights, what are the highlights and the lowlights in Florida?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've been doing in my blog is I've been talking about some states that have some pro-employee laws, and there really are. Florida is one of those states that has very few rights for employees, and we could really do a lot better. And so I've been doing kind of a running series about states with pro-employee laws. And one of the big ones, of course, is that every state but Montana is at will. Montana is not an at-will state. Interestingly, though, they have one of the fewest rates of employee lawsuits.
Now, at-will, you're talking about termination.
At-will means that you can be fired for any reason or no reason
at
all.
If you cross your eyes wrong or roll your eyes.
Exactly. You know, wear the wrong color or whatever, you can be fired. Montana doesn't have that. They also have one of the lowest rates of employee suits. So I think that it's interesting to say that a state that has protections for employee also has fewer employee suits. So maybe we need to revisit that, and maybe corporations need to think about that too. Treat your employees right and you have fewer suits. Some states have laws that are really cracking down on misclassification of employees, and that's a big issue. Misclassification means that you're either misclassified as an independent contractor or you're classified as exempt from overtime. And I'd say that most people who are considered exempt from overtime or are classified as independent
and sick
contractors.
And benefits.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a big issue, too. So there are states that actually have laws against misclassifications. There are states that have paid sick leave laws. You know, we're one of the few countries in the Western world that doesn't have any requirement of paid sick leave. But there are some states that do have paid sick leave. We have states, well, Florida does have some domestic violence victim workplace protection. There are states that have better protections. Ban the box. There are states, and this is a big issue, prohibiting employers from asking about arrests and convictions when people apply for jobs. That is a big issue, and there are states that are banning that. Work breaks for employees. Of course, there's no federal law that gives employees work breaks, but there are states that require breaks. Florida requires zero breaks, so don't demand your work breaks. You're not going to be entitled to them legally. And, of course, discrimination against the unemployed, a big issue. And it was mentioned in the introduction, you know, here in Florida, you can place an ad saying, I don't want anybody who doesn't have an existing job. That's illegal in some states. So I think we can do better in Florida to protect employees. And that's why I'm kind of talking about these issues in my blog and trying to raise the attention. We, as Florida voters, we're getting ready to go to the ballot boxes. Vote for people who are in favor of some pro-employee laws. Work to change the law here, because we can change the law. We can make.
But what about the rights of employers and, say, small businesses? I know some of these laws, it depends on the size of your business. But let's say I own a business and there's 5 to 10 employees, and there's just something about one of the employees who does the job okay, but just rubs me the wrong way, and I don't want them around anymore. Don't I have the right to say?
Of course you can.
You're gone.
Of course you can. I mean, you can fire people for any reason or no reason at all here in Florida. Now, in Miami-Dade County and Broward County, There are ordinances that prohibit discrimination against employees that cover employers with 5 or more employees. So the federal laws cover employers with 15 or more employees, but here in Miami-Dade and in Broward, it's 5 or more employees. So you do have some workplace protections here under the county ordinances as well. So smaller businesses that assume that they can go ahead and sexually harass or discriminate, you may have a rude surprise coming.
We have an employment law expert in the studio. She's Donna Ballman. And if you'd like to ask a question or would like to comment on what we're talking about, you're certainly welcome. 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. And also, you can get in even quicker by email. That's radio@WLRN.org. radio@WLRN.org. What about, is there a real logjam of litigation, say, in Florida on employment issues? Because it has so many restrictive laws, I guess
Florida has very few restrictive laws. So in general, there's a logjam in litigation more because of the foreclosure crisis. So I used to be able to tell people, it takes probably about a year to get through the court system in Florida. Now it probably takes about 2 years, could be more, because of the backlog on the foreclosure crisis. You can't blame employment laws for that. But yeah, it does take a while for these lawsuits. It's not like you see on TV where you file a lawsuit and a week later you get a trial. It's going to be a long process.
It seems like a couple of visits ago of yours, Donna Ballman, that I kind of got a kick out of this notion that you were telling us that technically employees have no rights to go to the restroom during working hours. Is that still in force, technically?
Well, you know, there's no federal law that requires any kind of workplace breaks, and there's no Florida law that requires any kind of workplace breaks. OSHA, the Occupational Safety Agency, the Federal Occupational Safety Agency, says that they have to give you reasonable access to a restroom. But when we did that show, it was interesting because I said, well, maybe you'd have luck if you filed a complaint with OSHA saying that your employer wasn't allowing you to access the bathroom. And somebody from OSHA called. Do you remember that? And they said, well, if somebody called us about bathroom breaks, we'd tell them to contact the Department of Labor. Well, the Department of Labor doesn't require any workplace breaks. There's no law requiring that. So it's up to OSHA. And if OSHA in Miami, in Florida, is still sending people to the Department of Labor, people have no remedy here in Florida. So that's a shame. And I encounter it all the time. People are fired because they insisted that they had to take a bathroom break. Now, there
I've heard
some
about
protection.
That kind of thing with low-income garment workers and illegal workers, but does anybody really do that?
Oh, yeah. I just had somebody who is pregnant, and she was fired for leaving her desk because she had to use the bathroom due to her pregnancy. You have an increased needs, let's say. You can have some protection under the pregnancy discrimination laws, under disability discrimination laws, if you have a medical condition that requires you to use the restroom with an increased frequency or a regular frequency. Same with work breaks. If you have a condition, for instance, diabetes, that requires you to have snacks at regular intervals or something like that, you can have some legal protection. But actual protection regarding breaks, there is none. Why not? Other states have it. Why can't we have it in Florida?
I suppose many employees, they need their jobs so much. They need the insurance benefits. They've got children to support, and they'll take a little bit of guff because they don't want to be the squeaky wheel and wind up losing their job.
Yeah, and people who complain
do
get fired. It is illegal to fire employees who object to something that's illegal, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. So if you think that your employer is doing something illegal, like not paying wages, like discriminating, and you object, you do have protection against retaliation, but you may end up having to seek out a lawyer.
You can be right legally, but somehow that employer can put the screws to you in more subtle ways, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, there are ways, but you do have legal protection. So I would tell people, look, it is a risk. I'm not going to say it's not a risk, but if you don't do something, then it's going to keep happening. So it depends. If you can't stand it anymore, then rather than sit and take it or just, I mean, some people just quit and they don't even have another job lined up. And I'd say, isn't it a better option to complain in a way that you're legally protected and try to protect yourself while you're looking for another job? You can always look for another job, but it's better to find another job while you're employed, because of course unemployment discrimination is legal in Florida.
And the feeling behind that is that if somebody was really worth employing, being employed, they'd already be employed, so they don't want you to apply for their job.
Yeah, and that's it's really silly. The unemployment discrimination is one of the sillier types of discrimination. Maybe Ebola is the silliest type of discrimination. That's the latest thing. We'll talk about that. But unemployment discrimination is certainly one of the silliest types, because it's just an assumption that, oh, well, if a person's unemployed, they're not worthwhile. Well, a lot of people lost their jobs due to restructuring or whatever. It's not their fault. You've got a lot of really good people out there that are looking for jobs. If you hire somebody who doesn't have a job, they're going to be more grateful and more willing to work hard, I think. So I think it's really silly to, and somebody who's looking for a job, who has a job, maybe they're less loyal. So those assumptions go both ways.
Let's get back to this independent contractor and classification business. I can have an independent contractor who's contracted to take care of my air conditioning or do the landscaping. What makes you an independent contractor versus an employer?
Well, you know, an independent contractor who's somebody who does your landscaping, okay, you know, I mean, they're probably an independent contractor. That's somebody who works for multiple people. They can hire staff. They can come and go as they please.
Say like a freelance journalist or something like that.
Exactly. So somebody who really sets their own schedule, can hire staff, can, you know, they don't have to ask for permission to take vacations. That's probably a contractor. But somebody who works in an office, has hours, has to ask permission to take breaks, take vacation, take time off. If you've got somebody that you answer to who controls your work, then you're probably an employee and you're probably misclassified.
We're speaking with Donna Ballman, employment law attorney extraordinaire. We're on Topical Currents. If you'd like to join in, you can give us a call. We'll start taking calls when we come back from our break. Our number, 1-800-743-9576. We'll be back with more. And we're back. It's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman is away for a long weekend, and I'm joined by employment law attorney and author Donna Ballman. Donna, tell us more about the Affordable Care Act, and the open enrollment is starting again.
Yeah, this is really important. Apparently, 9 out of 10 Americans don't realize that the next open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act starts November 15th, and it ends February 15th. So you've got a large open enrollment period. So if you're on COBRA, that you lost your job and you're paying COBRA, which is crazy expensive, or you just couldn't afford COBRA and you're uninsured, that's going to be the time that you can get on insurance again. And also, if you want to switch plans or whatever, that's the time that you can openly do that. So definitely go to the Affordable Care Act website.
What if you're employed but only work about 25 hours a week or something like that?
Yeah, well, if your employer doesn't provide insurance, then you can get it through the Affordable Care Act. So look at that website, and there are a lot of options. If you're comparing it to an employer plan, then probably look at those gold and platinum plans and make sure your doctor's on it. A lot of people pick something that looks cheap and their doctor's not on it. It doesn't do you any good. So make sure your doctor's on it.
Roughly ballpark, what kind of monthly fees are we talking about for someone who's, say, single and works 25 hours a week?
It's, you know, I don't know the answer because there's such a range. You know, there's a really low level plans. There's one that has like a $12,000 deductible. Don't get that one. There's one that's like the next one up that has a little better deductible. So shop it, look carefully, find something that you can afford. But it is really pretty affordable. So a lot of people who couldn't afford insurance can now get it. And you really have to, because of course you can get penalized on your taxes if you don't.
And pre-existing conditions don't count anymore.
Exactly. So you can get coverage. If you or a family member couldn't get coverage before because of a pre-existing condition, you can get coverage now.
Now, how do you go about going into that open enrollment? Go online?
Yeah, the Affordable Care Act is at healthcare.gov. One word, healthcare.gov. And look at that website and you can find it. You'll enter what state you're in, and it has all your options and they can walk you through it. You can also call them and they can walk you through it. But look at your stuff online because it gives you a lot of plans to compare.
Are there any nonprofit organizations that help low-income people? Or
I know there are. I can't tell you the names of any of them, but sure.
You can probably find those online, too.
Absolutely. You know, so that's easy. And the Affordable Care Act website is really easy to follow, so you can look at your options, shop carefully, and time is now.
And we go to our topical currents phones. This is Debbie. She's in Miami. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. I have a question about the right to unionize by independent contractors who are actually independent contractors. I am a professional independent contractor, and we have a professional association, but there's been some discussion about wanting to unionize, and a number of people have said that we are not allowed to unionize. I don't think that's true. I believe there's a federal right to unionize.
I think that it's very possible that an independent contractor can't unionize, but I would suggest talking to your local AFL-CIO about that. They're very knowledgeable.
You said can't.
Yeah, cannot unionize. I think independent contractors probably cannot unionize. But check with the AFL-CIO or another union that fits your profession and talk to them. They can walk you through it.
Okay. Do you know what is there federal law that talks about who can and cannot unionize?
Well, sure. It's the national law. It's the National Labor Relations Act that covers it. And so you can also look at the website NLRB.gov. That's the National Labor Relations Board, and there's a lot of information about unionizing there.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, we have to run, and we'll go to Jim in Hollywood. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Full disclosure, I'm an attorney, and I don't practice in the same area as Donna, but here's my question. Have we seen an increase in employers discharging people merely accused of sexual harassment without proof?
I don't know that there's an increase. There's always been, kind of a balance. I mean, years ago, I represented somebody who was falsely accused of sexual harassment who was discharged. So it's been from the beginning. You've got a situation where employers sometimes don't do a proper investigation and fire somebody because they've been accused. And that is legal. What they can't do, though, and I actually see this a lot, is men who are accused get fired. And women who are accused, women don't sexually harass, so they don't get fired. So that could be a discrimination issue. But yeah, it's perfectly legal to fire somebody just because they've been accused of sexual harassment.
Okay. Follow up, if I might. What can a falsely accused person do when they're asked by a prospective employer as to why they left their former job? Because, throw in, I know it's a practical question, not really legal. Aside from that, if somebody is discharged and they're shown a door and literally walked out of the door, it's obvious that there was some kind of problem with the former employer. So it's almost an innuendo kind of a problem, yeah. The way I see it.
Maybe, but I've got to say that that is more common. I see a lot of times people who are let go for whatever reason, and they're literally escorted out the door. Their stuff is either boxed up for them or they're told to come back after hours. So I don't think there's a stigma associated with that so much anymore. But it's a trick. I tell people, talk to a career counselor. My obviously legal advice is you have to tell the truth. But I think there are ways of couching the truth that might be more appropriate, might help you more. So I tell people, talk to a career counselor about how to couch that firing.
Okay, I'll pass that information along.
Okay,
thank you so
Jim,
much.
Thanks for your call. Here's Claudia via email. She says, working in the construction industry as a woman can be tough. During interviews, I've been asked if I'm planning to have children. Is that allowed?
No.
Should I have to feel like being a woman, my career opportunities are limited?
No, of course they can't ask you that. Well, I mean, I'm going to say that obviously they can. They can open their mouth and ask you that question, but it's an inappropriate question. There's no such thing as an illegal question, though. So that question, if you're not hired, could be used to prove sex discrimination. They're not supposed to ask you questions like that, and they shouldn't be. And yes, discrimination is rife in the construction industry against women. So hang tough, and if you're not getting hired and you're more qualified than the male who does get hired, then you might have a sex discrimination case.
And let's see, this is a listener named Randy. Is it legal for an employer to cut your hours so they don't have to provide health care?
An employer can cut your hours for any reason or no reason at all. There is, at the beginning of the year, it's going to be illegal to discriminate against people because of the fact that they're going to qualify for health care. But I think that's balanced with, yes, they can cut your hours. So unfortunately, yes, employers can cut your hours. And they can do that, for any reason. So a lot of people are getting their hours cut. And they just walk in one day and say, oh, sorry, you work one day less a week. week or 2 days less a week, or you're now part-time, and that is allowed.
Donna Ballman, review the status of raising the minimum wage. It was last raised federally to 7.25 in 2009.
Yeah, and there's a movement in many states to raise the minimum wage. Some states, some municipalities have already raised it. The federal efforts have so far failed, and we haven't raised it in Florida in quite some time. So, yeah, it's an issue. Right now, minimum wage people live below the poverty level. So if people need two jobs or they're on federal assistance, well, why should I have to pay out of my tax dollars when an employer doesn't want to pay their employees fairly? So I think that it is an issue for all of us because it's coming out of our tax dollars.
What about, say, Florida counties that have living wage referendums, or not referendum, but laws? And how do they apply? Is it only if they do business with the county?
Yeah, I mean, some counties do have laws saying that if you do business with the county, you have to pay a certain minimum wage. The federal government just did raise the minimum wage for federal contractors. That was done with an executive order signed by President Obama. So the federal minimum wage for federal contractors did go up, but any attempts to pass legislation have failed. So think about that while you're voting.
Along the same lines, a caller asked whether there are loopholes or exemptions in the minimum wage law.
There are. I mean, for instance, there is a federal youth minimum wage. However, that doesn't apply in Florida. And there are servers who get a lower minimum wage than regular because the assumption is that they're going to get tips. However, still those tips and their minimum wage has to equal at least the federal level minimum wage. So you can't be put on the server minimum wage and then get no tips or get 10 cents in tips a day. So they do have to make sure that matches at least minimum wage.
Back to the phones. We have Jamie, Fort Lauderdale. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Jamie and I'm a massage therapist and I am an independent contractor. I have an employer that is trying to require that we work holidays, Christmas and Thanksgiving in particular, and also that they're requiring that we have our schedules covered and that we have to request the time off.
It sounds like
your feedback on that.
It sounds like they're starting to cross that line into possibly making you an employee. So the more restrictions they put on you, the more requirements they put on you, the closer you are to being an employee. So you may want to talk to somebody who handles Fair Labor Standards Act issues and see if maybe they've crossed that line too far.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And if you think you're being unfairly treated that way, do you contact the IRS?
There is a form, actually, called the SS8 form. It's a little handy-dandy form you can fill out, and it has a list of questions that you answer if you think you're misclassified, and the IRS could determine that maybe you should be an employee after all. So that's one way you can get it done for free.
We're going to take a short break on our program. We'll return and take more of your calls after this. We're back 32 minutes past 1 o'clock. It is today's topical occurrence. Joseph Cooper with employment law attorney Donna Ballman. She's also a very prolific author. Donna, I'm sure you have a website where people can get a little more information.
Sure. My website is ballmanfirm.com. That's BallmanFirm.com.
And we have some phone lines open, many calls today. That number is 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. Also email, that's radio@WLRN.org. Emailer, this is Glenn. He's in a tough position. Is being of a particular political party that your employer despises considered discrimination? I guess you need to keep your politics under wraps.
There is a little bit of protection in Florida. There's a statute that says something like, and I don't remember it off the top of my head, but it comes up every time every political season. It says you can't be fired for because of the way you vote or because of the fact that you voted. So there is some legal protection. So I guess it depends. Discrimination because of political party is mostly legal, although there are some counties. I think Broward is one that has an ordinance saying that political affiliation discrimination is illegal. I'm not sure about Dade.
Let's go to the phones again. This is Badil, B-A-D-I-L-L.
It's Badili. Good afternoon.
Badili, okay.
I had a question. Actually, this is a subject very close to my heart. I was an administrative officer in the Georgia Department of Labor for several years, and now I live in Miami. But my question is really about unemployment insurance and how the unemployment insurance system in Florida compares to the rest of the country, particularly with the Florida legislature's hesitation or refusal to modernize the unemployment system, number one, and then number two, the test that is required for people to take in order to qualify for unemployment insurance, and how does that basically hinder people in terms of qualifying for unemployment here in Florida?
Well, Florida, as far as I can tell, has done everything it can to try to keep people from applying for unemployment, for qualifying for unemployment, to try to take unemployment away from people that are on it. So I have people come to me and complain all the time about what's going on with unemployment. They can't get through. They can't put their application through on the website. There's all kinds of hoops you have to jump through. There's all kinds of tricks that have been implemented. For instance, if you've got severance, what's supposed to happen is you get the severance. Say you've been on 3 weeks of unemployment, and then you get severance for 5 weeks, then you're fourth week of unemployment should start again at the end of those 5 weeks. Your unemployment stops. It used to be that severance didn't impact it. But now I've seen people that have had unemployment go back and say, oh, you owe us money back because you got severance. So it's crazy. And I can't even predict it. What they're doing to people is pretty bad. And it's very frustrating to deal with.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Donna Ballman, what about job interview questions? What is illegal, and is a clever HR person interviewer able to get you to divulge information without asking an illegal question? For example, so Donna Ballman, tell me more about you.
Well, sure. An interviewer can find out all kinds of stuff about you. There's no such thing as really an illegal question, but there are certain questions that could divulge your race or age or religion or national origin that could be evidence of discrimination. For instance, we were talking about the person who was asked if she was planning on having children. It's not really an illegal question. It's an inappropriate question, but it could be evidence of sex discrimination if you're not hired. So I would just say, look, if you've got, for instance, if you're on crutches, they're not supposed to ask about your disability at all, that it's improper to ask about a disability until you get a qualified job offer and then a conditional job offer, and then they're allowed to ask if you need any accommodations. But they do, and some are obvious, so you got to be prepared to answer those questions and just be ready for it.
And we move along to Steve in Palmetto Bay. Sorry for taking so long, Steve.
No, that's fine. Hi, Donna. Steve Cody.
Hey, Steve.
I also wanted to mention that Donna does a terrific fortnightly podcast with Peter Cox about writing in the law, and it's a terrific thing to listen to. My question to you is about wage theft protection. I've done a couple of cases, but I know that you've got much more experience. How prevalent is the problem of wage theft, and what can an employee do to protect himself or herself, both in the county, the state, and federal?
Wage theft is really common in Florida. We actually did a whole program here about it. Broward and Dade both have ordinances against wage theft. Interestingly, the legislature, I believe, just passed a law saying that no other county can have a wage theft ordinance. So we've essentially sanctioned wage theft in Florida. And there have been attempts to try to attack the two wage theft ordinances that we have. But yeah, there are states that have laws that prohibit wage theft. And I don't understand it, because we've got employers who just rampantly steal wages. They just don't pay people wages. A lot of people can't afford to fight. And yet we've criminalized stuff like trade secrets. So we're trying to make a trade secret law even stricter, and we're trying to impose forfeiture laws on employees who take so-called trade secrets, and yet we're not jailing employers who steal employee wages.
What's the most rampant version of that? Is that where an employer makes you work hours that you're not compensated for, or if they make adjustments on your timesheet?
Sure, you see it a lot in construction and agriculture, but really it's across the board. Employers, you know, they'd rather pay for their yacht than employee wages. They just stop paying. A lot of times you see employers who are having tough time financially, and what they'll do is they'll say, well, I'll pay you later, or they pay it a little bit at a time, and they stretch it out more and more. They get further and further behind, and people get kind of sucked into that. I've seen people that have gone into a situation where they got behind for years. So I tell people, look, if you're not getting paid everything that's owed you, get the heck out of there as quickly as you can, because it's not going to get better.
Another emailer, a labor law question. What's the status of overtime pay entitlement in Florida?
Well, we're covered by the federal law, thank goodness. If you work over 40 hours, you're entitled to overtime, assuming you're not exempt. There are a lot of exemptions, but I'd say that most people who are classified as exempt probably aren't. So just because you're salaried doesn't mean you're exempt. So there are exemptions for executives and administrative people and certain professionals. But employers get this wrong a lot. So if you're classified as exempt, you might want to either look at DOL.gov. They actually have some things that are online that can help you determine yourself whether you're misclassified. Or you can talk to an attorney who handles Fair Labor Standards Act cases and find out if you're misclassified.
Give us an example of something that someone might face.
You've got somebody who's, say, a secretary, who is just paid a salary, and she shouldn't be exempt at all. And she works 50 hours a week, and they don't pay for those extra 10 hours a week. That's a person who probably should be paid overtime for those 10 hours. So it's a big issue, and that can add up. It may not be a huge amount sometimes, but every little bit pays, and that's an employer just taking your money.
What happens to an employee, do they have any grounds to stand on if they're early to work, usually 20 minutes, 15 minutes, and then one day maybe they're 20 minutes late and then they're docked?
Yeah. If the employer knows you're working early, then they're supposed to pay you for that early time. If the rule is if they suffer or permit you to work, then they have to pay you for those hours. So yeah, if you come in early and then they dock you at the end, they should have been paying you for that 20 minutes all along. So if they don't want you to come in early, then they really should enforce it and say, look, you know, you can if you come in early, we're not going to let you work. Enforce it across the board. You know, go get coffee, go do whatever, but you can't start working until
or sit in your car in the parking lot till exactly 8 o'clock or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So an employer can enforce that, but a lot of employers, just come on in and work early, but I'm not going to pay you. That's not.
And of course, a lot of these employees are our faithful employees, and they figure, well, I'm 20 minutes early, I can get a few things done.
Yeah. And in fact, you see employers now going the other way. Employers who want to comply with the law are actually firing people who are not properly reporting their time. So people work for 20 minutes and then punch in. They can get fired for falsifying their hours because the employer doesn't want to get into trouble. So you got to be careful with that.
Wow. And we go back to our calls. Let's see. Al in Miami, he's been waiting a long time. Hey, Al.
Hey, how you doing, Joe? Good to hear you back in the saddle.
Thank you.
My question is about these no-compete contracts that employers, I don't know if it's all employers, but basically I was hired because of my skill set. And then every employee must mandatorily sign these no-compete clauses, which say, you know, you can't work in the same capacity for, in some cases, 3 years after the fact. But yet this particular employer never provided any training or added to that skill set, you know, again, I was hired because of it. I feel like it's mine. You know, I'm not like a hairstylist or a professional chef, but in the same capacity, it's kind of ludicrous. Is there any traction on being able to kind of balk at that, push game to shove?
Well, there are a lot of myths about non-compete agreements, and one of them is that, oh, well, Florida is a right-to-work state and they're not enforceable. Right-to-work has nothing to do with non-competes. Florida is one of the worst states in the nation for employees on non-competes. And one of the stories that's been in the news a lot is Jimmy John's nationwide has had their sandwich makers sign non-competes, and there's been a big outcry about that. It's pretty outrageous.
Do they have some kind of mystical way of making a submarine sandwich
or
something?
I don't know. You know, listen, if you have the secret recipe to the secret sauce, then maybe they don't want you to take that to a competitor. But even in Florida, as terrible as it is for employees, has laws that say that a non-compete cannot be used for the sole purpose of preventing competition, because that's antitrust. Antitrust is the law against limiting competition. You can have non-competes, but they have to be supported by a legitimate interest other than preventing competition. Legitimate interest will be stuff like protecting trade secrets, protecting confidential information that is really confidential. It's not on their website. The employee has access to. Extraordinary training would be one. So there can be some legitimate interests to protect, but there are a lot of defenses to them. The problem is that you get judges that just say, oh, well, you know, you're working for a competitor. Okay, well, then I'm going to issue an injunction against you. So I see judges all the time that just shut down. They don't want to hear anything, but, oh, you're working for a competitor. That's it. I'm issuing an injunction. And most people can't afford to fight. It can cost tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to fight these things. And we've got terrible laws, very one-sided in Florida. And so the people that can afford to fight are usually people who open their own businesses and are doing very well, and they can afford to fight. But other people just, you know, the new employer gets the nasty gram saying fire them or we're going to sue you, and they get fired. They're fighting from a position of being unemployed. They can't afford to fight. So I'm not going to tell you that it can't be enforced, but they have to have a legitimate interest to protect. But if you can't afford to fight, then you're stuck.
Before we take our next break, I want to squeeze this in, Donna, concerning the business of ads that say that unemployed people need not apply. This is Josh. He says, volunteering may help long-term unemployed overcome the do not apply line from some employers. I volunteer up to 30 hours per week, and I guess he includes that.
Yeah, but volunteering for a for-profit company, not legal.
Oh, no.
They have to pay you. So if you're volunteering for a charity, great. But if you're volunteering for a for-profit company, that's illegal. You're entitled to be paid under the Fair Labor Standards Act. So they shouldn't be allowing people to be quote-unquote volunteers and not paying them.
Employment law and such is our topic today on Topical Currents. We'll take a short break and be back with more calls. And we return. It is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper. And we return with Donna Ballman. Let's don't take any time. Get right back to the calls. Joe, Fort Lauderdale, you're up. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Real quick, I'm a route driver making deliveries, and we're coerced into not taking our lunches. It's automatically deducted from us, but you know, we don't take it. We're not compensated for it. And if we work over a certain amount of hours, then they cut our hours. So, you know, we're bypassing our lunches, so we stay under our hours.
If they're docking you for lunches, then they should be allowing you to take your lunch. They have to pay you for your lunch if they're not letting you take it. Now, what they can do is say you get to the point where we're towards the end of a work week and you've worked your 40 hours, they can say stop working for the rest of the week. They can do that. But if you go over 40 hours in any given week, including those docked lunches, then you're entitled to be paid overtime.
Right. Okay. But what is my recourse, or what is our recourse for that?
Department of Labor, DOL.gov, or talk to an attorney who handles Fair Labor Standards Act cases.
Are those hard to prove?
No. I mean, they're, you know, the law is pretty pretty clear on this. So Department of Labor and attorneys hopefully can help you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, we'll move along to Warren in Delray. I'm short on time, Warren.
Thank
please
you for
be brief.
Taking my call. Joe, don't ever go away again and leave everyone stuck with me without you.
Yeah,
you
Joe.
You are missed. Welcome
thank
back.
You. Go ahead.
Everyone, first of all, regarding medical care, until we have socialized medicine in this country, the way they have in Britain, the way they have in Canada, we won't have the best thing, but what we have is still better than what we used to have. Second, I have campaigned with our politicians up in Washington to get laws changed so that horrible, obligatory online applications with questions like, did you ever receive a gift that was stolen, like anyone would answer yes, or did you ever consult a psychiatrist, or were you ever on public assistance, would never appear. And I personally got those removed from corporate applications, but until they made to look at resumes and things again, and they can't refuse people work because they're out of work, 25 million people will never work again. And finally,
do you have a question for us?
No, I'm just reporting a little of what I found. And,
well,
and
we appreciate your efforts, but we've got a lot of people waiting for questions, so you can share with us.
In conclusion, also, we won't have justice in this country until people can go before judges and state their cases as they did in the Bible without spending $500 an hour for representation.
Okay, Warren, we have
to
run. Thank you. And we go to Maria, Miami. Hi there.
Hello, this is Miami?
Yes.
Yes, this is Maria. I'm a dental assistant. And back in 2 years ago, I was like a whistleblower, you know, because they were not sterilizing correctly. I told the manager. One of the girls' assistant that almost got really upset at me, almost wanted to hit me, okay, and insulted me. The dentist, the owner, took hours off of me and wanted to fire me. Should I go to the health department and do that and stay working? Now what he's doing is he's not paying me on the holidays. They pay them. And I was talking to him and being defiant. Oh, you're being defiant. No, it's not right, mm-hmm. I told him. You have to pay me.
Well,
should I stay on the job?
If you're being retaliated against for whistleblower activity, and they have at least 10 employees, then the Florida Whistleblower Act does protect you. So you may have some protection there. And depending on what law they violated, each federal law has its own whistleblower provisions. So you'd have to look and see if it was a year ago or 2 years ago, you may be out of time for some of this.
Right now. But this is like four employees, so I don't qualify, right?
Well, under some federal laws, you may qualify. So a lot of them are under the OSHA Act, which is OSHA.gov.
OSHA.
So you can look and see if you're protected by those. But again, there are short time limits on that stuff, so don't delay.
Right. And let me say something. Are they supposed to pay me, right? Just like everybody else, if they pay everybody on a holiday?
Yeah. Well, if you're not working, there's no federal law that requires them to pay for holiday pay. If they're discriminating against you based on race, age, sex, religion, national origin, then that could also be illegal. Or if they're retaliating against you for objecting to something illegal.
Bullying. Uh-huh.
Bullying is not illegal in any state but Tennessee.
No. Okay. Thank you so much, okay? Thank you
you're
so
welcome.
Much.
Okay, and next up it's Corrine, Pembroke Pines. Hi there, I'm short on time. Corrine, go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling because I work for a federal contractor, and I do interviews, which means I'm going from home to home. And my boss has asked me to work for some time, take extended breaks, unpaid, and then work again in the same area. Is that legal?
Very possibly. You know, it depends. If you're required to stay in a certain area, you're not allowed to leave, then that could not be a legal break. But if you're allowed to leave, if you're allowed to go back, then, yeah, they can make crazy hours, unfortunately. But again, you should check with the Department of Labor or a lawyer that handles Fair Labor Standards Act cases and go into the details of that.
Okay. Also, are they required to give us breaks?
No.
Okay.
No federal or state requirement of any breaks,
okay.
Unless you're a minor.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And next up, Ryan, Pompano Beach. Hi.
Hey, how are you? Very quickly, I know you're busy. If a company finds a creative way to
lay out how they pay you in such a way that when you get overtime, you're only getting paid overtime on half of what they claim your salary would be. Like, for example, if they say you make $15 an hour, but $7.50 of it is hourly, and the other part they say is based on your performance, when you work overtime and they pay you only on the $7.50, is that legal?
No, they should be paying you based on, you know, all your compensation, so including bonuses and stuff like that. So overtime is calculated based on your total compensation, and you know, so if it varies, then it's a variable overtime rate.
Okay, so if they don't have that standing at all, then that's just something we should look into getting resolved.
Yeah, I again, talk to the Department of Labor or a lawyer who handles Fair Labor Standards Act cases.
All right, great. Thank you so much.
Next up, Barbara Boca Raton. Hi there.
Hi, I have a question. It seems that almost anybody who's labeled a manager here in Florida is considered exempt from overtime. Is that actually correct, or how would that even be?
Not necessarily. I mean, there are a lot of tests, and there are detailed fact sheets on the DOL.gov website. But in general, I mean, a lot of times you're classified as a manager, but you don't actually supervise anybody just because they give you a title. If your duties don't match what the title is, then you're still not exempt. So, if you're supervising people, if you've got certain responsibilities, then you may be exempt, but you may not be. And not all managers are exempt. So it really is very fact specific as to whether you're exempt. And again, most times they get it wrong.
Is there a test or something to judge this on the DOR website?
Yes, there are detailed fact sheets by profession, by type of job, managerial employees. They've got fact sheets for that. So, yeah, definitely check it out.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, topical currents. Next, Suzanne, Fort Lauderdale. Hi. Suzanne.
Hello, Suzanne.
Yes. If you are under a workers' comp, can your employer discharge you?
Well, it's illegal in Florida to fire somebody because they made a workers' comp claim. Now, if you're on workers' comp and you just can't work, I mean, sometimes you've got an injury where you're just not cleared for months and months, and if you're not protected by family and medical leave, then they don't necessarily have to hold that job open for you. So it depends. But the other thing they can't do, and I see this a lot on workers' comp cases, is you're returned to light duty, and they say, oh, we want people who are 100% returned to duty. Well, that may be illegal under the Americans with Disabilities Act because they can't just say, we 100% return everybody. If they can reasonably accommodate your disability, for instance, if you've got a lifting restriction and your job doesn't really require you to lift that much, or there's somebody there that can help you or something like that, then they may have to accommodate that. So a lot of people do get fired for making workers' comp claims. That is illegal.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Suzanne, thanks for your call. Donna Ballman, more about your website where people can get hold of you also.
Sure. My firm's website is ballmanfirm.com. That's BallmanFirm.com.
And the title of your latest book?
Stand Up for Yourself Without Getting Fired.
And we'll have links to that book on our Topical Currents Facebook page, as well as the WLRN website. Thank you very much, Donna Ballman.
My pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be here.
And thanks for tuning in this hour. Topical Currents is produced by Richard Ives. Technical direction from online producer Paul Leary. Check out the Topical Currents Facebook page for photos and discussion. And if you'd like a friend to hear this program, it's a free download at our website, WLRN.org. And don't miss tomorrow's program. We begin with a look at the plight of low-income seniors and the housing crunch. 10,000 Americans turn 65 years of age each day. Also tomorrow, Linda Gastenheimer's Food and Dining will explore the realm of Colombian coffees. I suppose my afternoon nap will be out. Apologies to those callers and emailers we couldn't get to. This is Joseph Cooper for Bonnie Berman. Thanks for making Public Radio your companion today. Stay tuned for Here and Now from NPR News.